Great. Thank you, ladies, for that good music this morning. We have things a little bit different for you, and I hope you'll hang in with us all the way through. I've solicited part of my family to come to help us this morning to worship. And our granddaughter, Alessandra Paonessa, will be singing for us in a moment. And following that, then her mother, our daughter Rebecca, will bring a testimony that has to do with what our focus is this morning, the New Jerusalem. Alessandra, please.
Fear is something that we can wear as an invisible cloak, and it can come in many, many shapes and many colors and through many ages. As we age and we get old, we can be afraid of dying, of being alone, of illness. As teenagers, we can be afraid to take a stand for our faith. We can be afraid of what people will think. As small children, we can be afraid of the dark. We can be afraid of corners and shadows. It took a very imaginative sermon to save this very fearful soul. I was sitting in the front row listening to the pastor talk from Revelation 21:21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And the minister went on to explain the beauty of heaven, and it captured my vivid imagination as a six-year-old child. And he drew the picture with the many layers of foundation stones, rubies, turquoise, jasmine, and doors, an entire pearl, and a sea like glass, and roads of gold. Who wouldn't want to be there? I was following along in this really beautiful picture until suddenly the picture went a little dark. Into the picture, the pastor inserted a truth. This city, this New Jerusalem, is only entered if you have a personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not available if you don't have that as the entry. We have an interact card, so to speak. And, wow, really? And then he went on to say that just because you have Christian parents, your parents might even be missionaries. Just because you have Christian friends, you might even know the Bible. You might even be able to sing the words of the hymns by heart. It doesn't mean you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which gains you entry into the New Jerusalem. I thought, wow. I was desperate for the sermon to hurry up and end. It seemed to go on forever. I was impatient as the pastor was talking to everybody at the front of the church, because I really wanted to get saved. I was kind of scared something would happen before I got to do it the right way. Remember, I'm a fearful person. Talking, final hymn, more talking, we're in the car, we're driving home. It was the longest drive of my life. We finally get home and I explain to my parents that I really want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, there are those who think that for a child to receive Christ as their Savior, perhaps it's a small decision, little insignificant. A child of six does not understand all the theology of justification by faith and all the, you know, isms and osms that we stick on the end of big words. But a six-year-old child sure knows when they've disobeyed and when they've missed the mark. And this six-year-old child desperately knew that. With my parents on each side, my dad on one side and my mom on the other, I knelt and I asked Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. That moment lasted me the rest of my life, and I'm 54 if you want to know. It was a real decision. Yes, I had to rework at times how I understood Jesus Christ in the world I lived in. Yes, at times I had to rework my faith as difficulties and troubles and darkness at times entered my life. But the decision of Jesus Christ as my personal Savior was a forever and lasting decision. And it wasn't just that I could go to heaven and be part of a New Jerusalem. It was that heaven also entered me. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. And it's just not a fire insurance. It's a daily living in the kingdom of God and the New Jerusalem here and now that we can extend to others.
Thank you, Becky. It was back at that time when we were translating the New Testament scriptures for the North Alaskan Eskimo Inupiat, and I was just enraptured with this beautiful picture of the New Jerusalem. This is Palm Sunday, and it's a time, and the original day, for a few hours, the world around the Lord Jesus recognized who he was, their Messiah. And so, we appreciate Handel's Messiah. Handel wrote some other very great music, and Alessandra is going to come and sing on this Palm Sunday, "Let the Bright Seraphim Praise the Lord." What a wonderful, wonderful privilege and blessing to have Alessandra with us and her mom too. And this morning, I really want to give you a verbal picture of the New Jerusalem, best I can. And if you're interested, I have a little pamphlet here that has the words. You may have a copy if you come forward after the service. First of all, I want you to turn off your criticizers. All right, for the next 12 minutes. Go back to that time. Put on your faith visor, childlike faith visor. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you just, in a childlike way, receive the totality of heaven into your heart. Amen? Okay, set aside all your critical stuff, and let's look into the New Jerusalem, the best we can discern with clods of clay that we are. And I read in Revelation 21, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, he came and he said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Try to picture this. Let's be carried away in our imaginations to this same mountain where John was carried in the Spirit. And let's attempt to behold what he saw. Up in the outer heavens, we see this brilliant object, brighter than any star, brighter than the very sun itself, coming on toward us. It's an object emanating the very glory of the living God. And as it comes closer and looms larger, we're impressed with the color, a light greenish hue. And as it comes even closer, frighteningly close now, we see that it is ethereal, celestial, clear as crystal. You know what it's like. You see a rainbow. And you know that if you were near the rainbow, you could put your finger right through it. You see it, and yet it doesn't seem to be there. So it is, this beautiful New Jerusalem. And now we're overwhelmed with the immensity of this New Jerusalem, both its size and its shape. For it's as high as it is long, as it is wide. Now picture us standing on the mountain that John stood on, and at one corner of the city. And as we look along the length and the breadth and up into the heights, it goes out beyond our capacity to see it in every direction, well beyond our sight. We're told that the dimensions are 1,400 miles. So let's try to grasp the dimensions of the New Jerusalem. Let's assume that we're viewing it right from here from forward, Toronto. On the one side, extends all the way to Havana, Cuba, beyond Florida. The other walled side extends halfway across the state of Wyoming, roughly south of Saskatchewan. And its height, who can begin to imagine 1,400 miles up? This is God's holy city that John saw. And now this immense, beautiful city is so close that the ethereal light, greenish hue, gives way to a whole spectrum of color, all crystal clear, for the foundations nearest to our view reflect the whole spectrum of the rainbow. The first row nearest us emanates the opaque green, similar to the general hue we first noticed when it was approaching. The row of foundation stones next up is sky blue. Above that, another greenish hue. And a fourth tier is bright green, bordering the bright green, bluish green, which in turn gives way to yellowish green, then greenish gold, then reddish blue and violet. The 12 tiers of foundation stones manifest the glorious profusion of a double rainbow, so to speak. Surrealistic, celestial, real, there. And yet, not quite. And overlaying the ethereal colors of the 12 foundations appear the names of the 12 apostles. And now we can see more detail. And above this 12-tiered rainbow-hewn foundation is a high wall reaching up to the heavens, 10 stories high. And these walls radiate the color of jasper, that ethereal, celestial, greenish hue. Each wall has three gates, and each like a pearl, radiating an opaque, multi-hue of the colors around it. Can you see it? And on guard at each gate is an angel, clad in awesomely pure white robes. And over each of the 12 gates is the name of a tribe of Israel. Now, let's pass through one of the gates to glimpse the interior. And as soon as we've entered, something missing. There's no temple in the New Jerusalem, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And now we're conscious of being totally immersed in a pure, cleansing light that both uplifts our souls while leaving us breathless. How can mere paltry words hope to describe the super surpassing brilliance that our eyes behold? And our gaze runs up that beautiful complex of tree-lined, water-divided boulevard to the far distant source of dazzling illuminance. There we perceive, within an impenetrable aura, the outline of two thrones. Our gaze is transfixed on that indescribably beautiful source of dazzling light. We can discern more guests than actually see, for the brilliance is so intense that this light emanates from two thrones, and we intuitively know it is the throne of God our Father with the throne of the Lamb, our precious Savior, beside it. For our new home has no need for sun, no need for moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives it light. And the Lamb is its lamp. And the sense of total unworthiness and outright soul-crushing humility overwhelms us, and we could do nothing but burst forth in heartfelt praise to our loving God for granting us the thrilling gift of eternal life, sharing the very presence of our Creator and our Redeemer forever and ever and ever. Is that worthy of a hallelujah? Now we force our gaze from this absorbing light source to focus on the boulevard that comes from the throne back toward us. And the street is formed of two very wide lanes, radiating a glorious golden hue. And down between these two lanes is the river of life issuing from the thrones, flowing gently toward us, crystal clear, celestial, ethereal in texture. Its deep, silent, awesomely sparkling flow beckons us to drink freely, for we intuitively sense that renewed vigor lies in each draught. But before we stoop to drink, our attention is drawn to the river's sides. And there, between that crystal clear river and the golden streets on either side, is the tree of life, long rows of the tree of life, each identical to its neighbor. The profusion of leaves beckons us to eat, for they are for our healing. And then we notice a delectable fruit among the leaves, and we understand that this fruit changes every month of the year. Never a monotony of flavor, and never a barren tree. And the fruit, the leaves, and the crystal clear water remind us that we are not gods. Though we have eternal life, our eternal life is derived from our eternal Father, who is the source and sustenance of life. And we will always continue to nourish ourselves by these bountiful provisions of eternity. Can I hear an amen? A little bit louder? Thank you. And so we're brought back to our redeemed humanness, glorified, still created beings. What a marvelous plan our loving God has for us. And He chose us to share this indescribable glory ever before He brought forth this marvelous creation all around us. So aren't you happy to be part of God's family? With this keen anticipation of rejoicing forever in the New Jerusalem, God's ultimate paradise, the very presence of our awesome Creator and His Son and our precious Savior and elder brother, the Lord Jesus. Amen? Behold, I'm coming soon, says Jesus. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash the robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may grow through the gates into the city. Outside of those dogs and those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral and the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices the falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star, and the Spirit and the bride. I say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever's thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Amen. He who testifies to these things says, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Say with me, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Alessandra, come and sing to us about this New Jerusalem.
Shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of the cross arose.
Let's bow in prayer. What a wonderful one. You go to be with your Savior in heaven. But at the end of history, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, we will be with ever for the living Creator God, chosen before the foundation of the world to share in His reality. Thank you, Father, for the beautiful, beautiful plan that you have for redeemed man. Look into our hearts, and if there be one here this morning that is not certain and sure that this eternal home is theirs, by your Spirit, speak into their heart. Dig down deep into their inner reality. Bring them to full repentance, childlike faith, and open up their heart to receive you, Lord, the gift of life. And for all who know you and love you, may we day by day live out your life, the new life. And unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us spotless before his presence with great glory, unto the only wise God be might, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen and amen.